Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the conference call to release earnings for the fourth quarter 2017. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants are in listen-only mode. Ensuing this, there will be a question and answer session. Should any participant require assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. The audio of this webcast is being presented simultaneously through internet at www.isacetep.com.br/ir. The slideshow is also present at that website. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements made during this event are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Cetep's management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions and other operating factors could affect the future results of Isacetep and cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such statements. Today, we have Mr. Reynaldo Passanezi, CEO, Rinaldo Pecchio, the IRO and CFO, Mr. Weberson Abreu, Project Director, and the Chief of Institutional Relations. I would now like to turn the floor over to Mr. Passanezi, who will begin the presentation. You have the floor, sir.
A good morning to all of you. It is a pleasure to be able to discuss the results for the year 2017 with you. In fact, this was a very positive year for us. Without a doubt, 2017 is a year that stands out because of the very good results for the company, putting us once again on that path of growth and sustainability with very positive results, thanks to the efforts set forth by the company since we took the strategic decision of continuing on with our concession in 2017. We're going to go to the presentation and speak about the 2017 highlights. At the end, I would also like to refer to the challenges for 2018. The main highlight is that we have received the revenues from RBSE. We were able to approve a final amount of 4.1 billion this year with an increase at the end and after all of the administrative discussions. In fact, we have begun receiving these revenues of 1.5 billion for the 2017-2018 cycle and 820 million reais as the last equity share. This, of course, has an impact on our results and our operational cash generation. This, of course, has been the great event from the cash viewpoint, and this is a result of all of our efforts towards continuing on with the concession. Another very important news for us, and that offers us a certain tranquility, is the DIT, that is to say, other transmission installations from Normative Resolution 781. These will not be transferred to the distributing company. Another good piece of news, of course, is our growth. We participated in the auctions in October of 2016. In 2017, we were granted five lots, one lot on our own and one lot in partnership with Taesa, with an annual investment forecast at 3.2 million and a RAP with a discount of 396 million. We were able to acquire 80% of the
capital, 75%, and from INI and Isoluc for Yene. Becky will also speak about our operating results, and they are perfectly aligned with our budget, perhaps somewhat above the average inflation. Now, when we look at the financial item here, we also observe that this year we spent almost 1 billion reais, always with very competitive conditions of obtaining market funds at a very low cost. And we had the debentures where we had 22 billion below the sovereign cost. We were able to also have an issuance of debentures under very favorable conditions. I think that these are the issues that show how strong we are financially and operationally. This is a strength that arises from a stringent expense control that, of course, is part of our budget, and with our budgets that are always somewhat below inflation, they also arise from a growth due to a highly efficient allocation of resources. And these resources, be it in audits or in deposits, we have almost 200 million reais a year from these deposits. And the good news is that we're doing very well when it comes to the auctions. We're working according to our schedule. Pekio will speak about this somewhat, but our execution has been fully satisfactory and, of course, better than we had forecast when we prepared our business plan. And in terms of funding, we received this in very favorable conditions. So these are the great highlights of the company: a very stringent control of its expenses, an efficient allocation of operational cash generation that we were able to provide, enabling us to grow in a profitable and sustainable way and to be able to fund this under highly competitive conditions. We can therefore say that the use of the RBSE resources are being allocated very efficiently and in a profitable way. Because of all of this, we were elected the best company in the Brazilian energy sector by Exame magazine, and we continue to be acknowledged as being one of the best companies to work for by Great Place to Work. Now, which are our great challenges for 2018? Our great challenges lie in the review of the annual allowed revenues. This implies a revision of the revenues and the regulatory remuneration. Our contributions to the public hearing have been constant. We have made rather expressive contributions, and we are expecting to obtain a positive result because of this. We have discussed the worst scenario, which is the scenario where there was a lengthy discussion, and we understand that there are several enhancements that could be made, and we believe that we have a very sound argument so that tariff review of the national system, and so that the review of the WACC, the weighted average cost of capital, can be perhaps reverted. And we have worked with the regulatory remuneration calculation base to guarantee that the gains that we have observed be preserved by the company. And finally, another great challenge is the RBSE legal issue and the proposal of ad hearing that should exist according to a law for the reform of the electrical sector. This is a draft bill to democratize the capital of Electrobras, something that is already being discussed at Congress and that will allow Electrobras the possibility of resolving the legal issue of RBSE by extending the payment term from 5 to 8 years and will allow for an updating of the financial issue, the WACC. Now, this same clause is part of the draft bill that has been sent to the Ministry of Mines and Energy. It is still not being discussed at Congress, and this would enable other companies that are entitled to the RBSE to adhere to this model, which would be a de-judicialization with a term of 5 years and a financial updating through the weighted average cost of capital. Once again, this is an issue that has been broadly debated, and publicly we have stated that it will be possible that we will not adhere if at the end it is not approved according to these terms. We have been working especially on the term and the legal security linked to the Ordinance 520 and the investments that we will make as of that date. So these are my initial comments. I would now like to offer the floor to Becchio. As you can see, we're a very sound company with profitable growth, with a stringent expense control. We're financing our expansion under highly competitive conditions. And despite the discussion at court, the RBSE will make a great difference in the cash generation of the company. And we do face some regulatory challenges this year, but I would like to reiterate that in our opinion, we can continue to improve the proposals that the granting power is making at present. These are my initial comments. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Reinaldo. So now we are going to go into details about the results of our year of 2017. Remember that we have always focused on the regulatory views. So we want to give you a better view of what the actual economic results of the companies are, especially in cash generation. So we want to focus on the regulatory part of it. So on slide 4, we show the consolidated gross revenue with growth of 85% from 16 to 17. And the two highlights here are the following. First, with regards to RBSE itself, 823 million, as Reinaldo mentioned, from July to December 17. In terms of cash, 60 million. But that made a difference in consolidated numbers that you see on the slide number 4. Another point to highlight is the energization of 194 projects that enabled an RAP of additional 49 million. And again, remember the financial discipline that we have been using in the execution of our investments. So that shows, and I'm going to show you later on, the variation compared to 16. So it shows that we are very solid, that is, having projects that have good return for the investments that are made. As for net revenues, you don't have it on the table, but it's 1.8 billion that we had in the end of 17, a variation in line with the variation of gross revenues. That is a very important component of RBSE with impact in the performance. Going to slide number 5, here we see O&M costs and general expenses ex depreciation. So here we see a variation of 3%. Now, there are some points that I would like to address here. that cause the variation. First, you have the points of the slide. You have personnel, so there was this structural change, the collective bargaining agreement, and also some indemnities paid, and also contingencies. We had a non-recurring important reversion because we had some opportunities and we were able to settle at lower amounts. So that shows a very good trend. There is, and I have said that before, we got to a level where we have a very mature portfolio. And with that, you see a trend of not having abrupt growth without controlling this portfolio. Now, the points I would like to highlight with regard to costs are related to, first, 7 million of this cost that we see in 7 million in 2017 is a change in the criteria of capitalizing labor. So when you take a look at the total of the company, we have no changes, but you have 7 million that were considered investments and now are considered costs. So that makes those variations show this year, but as of now, we should keep it at this level. Another things I would like to highlight are additional costs related to this phase of growth of the company, especially the participation in auctions that brought costs of 4 million related to the participation itself. And the third point I would like to mention has to do with the increase of revenues, IFRS, and also an increase of income tax. And because of that, we had an increase of expenses with the RANE law, which is the cultural incentive law, which led to increase of 3 million compared to the previous year. So these are the additional factors of costs that we had. But again, in general lines, as Reinaldo mentioned, they are absolutely within a variation that is was expected for the by the company. On slide 6, then we see the equity, consolidated equity income with a minus 39%. And the major highlights here are the first, the reduction of the tariff revision of Garanhuns of negative impact on RIP of 12.7 million. And also in Madeira, when we had the reduction of the net revenue of the variable parcel, which we call PV, because there was a delay in the startup of the operation. So that is recognized, and therefore it affects the consolidated equity income. So these are the two factors that led to this variation and the reduction of 39% year on year. Going to slide number 7, we show the consolidated financial results of the company. Major highlights here are the reduction because we signed up to the PERT tax amnesty, which accounted for 53 million. So that was an important component for this variation for us to reduce our financial results. Also, the reduction in interest in charges because we have a lower cost of debt, and also reduction in the average balance of financial investments that was unfavorable, but still is something that is a result of us working with a lower average volume of investments. So these are the three main points for the variation that we had in our consolidated financial results. Going to slide number 8, now we show everything we talked before, showing consolidated net income with growth of 159%. This obviously had the major impact of RBSE. That was something very remarkable for this year. It really made a difference for the company, even in terms of growth and, again, the signature of the PERT. That was another point I would like to highlight the recognition of Yeni, a non-recurring 38 million that I mentioned before, and also the reversal in contingency expenses. So all these points led to the variation of 159% with consolidated net income of 636 million as opposed to 246 million in 2016. On slide 9, we show EBITDA and EBITDA margin. Here you also see regulatory numbers with growth of 177%, going from 488 million to 1,351 million in regulatory EBITDA. So the major component here is obviously, again, RBSE and the beginning of the receipt. And in terms of IFRS, we had a reduction from 7,405 to 2,59. And this is basically because for the purposes of FRS, the recognition of RBSE happened in the third quarter of 16. So we still have corrections on the asset recognized by the company, but at a much lower amount. And therefore, you see this drop. In regulatory, because we are privileging this analysis, we show exactly the opposite. We show growth based on the effective receipt of RBSE. On slide 10, we show our managerial cash flow. And because it's managerial cash flow, we are including, in addition to cash, also cash equivalents and financial investments, to show in a more suitable manner the real status of the company in terms of cash availability. So the highlights here are the following. First, 340.7 to 616.7, so almost doubled the amount in terms of cash availability. And the highlights is again the receivable of RAP. Here it is the recurring RAP plus the 650 of RBSE. The acquisition of shares of 100 million that I would like to mention. And in financing activities, we see a major volume of activities in terms of new credit that was raised, as Reinaldo mentioned, at very good commercial terms according to what is offered in the market. So we had a very good timing to acquire this loan and also the payout of dividends with 636 million reals paid during the year of 17. And here again, we show the payment of Law 4819, 162 million, that had an impact on our cash. Going to slide number 11, we have the variation of regulatory versus IFRS. Here it's quite clear. Regulatory, you have 615 million and the net income of IFRS of 1,365,000,000. The major component is the update of the financial assets and implementation costs with infrastructure. These are the major variations that led to this difference, more than double of results for IFRS compared to regulatory. But once again, remember, our focus is on regulatory because it's more compatible to our capacity to generate cash. And here, also in IFRS, I forgot to mention, we had a provision related to 57 million that also had an impact in our results for IFRS. So when I was talking about regulatory, I forgot to mention that, but that was an amount that was recognized in 2017 because of these interrupted installations. That's what we had. For slide number 12, we bring basically a summary of the variation of the gross and net debt of the company. So on your right, you have all the loans that we required, the debentures, 55 million, also an operation 431 of 160 million, 150 million for BNDES, and a reduction in the average cost of debt from 11.4 to 83%. So quite substantial. And compared to 16, we show net debt of CETAP and subsidiaries with variation of 81% and consolidated net debt, that is extracting the availabilities of the whole subsidiaries, we get to indebtedness of 1,326. And in terms of covenants, we are respecting and abiding by all our covenants, and we have been able to keep that. On slide number 13, we show the total investments that were made in the year of 17. So here we had a total of 295 million. If we are to compare to the amount forecasted for the beginning of in the beginning of the year, we did have some reductions, but reductions that had a lot of effort behind. That is, we were looking into innovation and alternatives to be able to reduce and execute what had to be done, technically speaking, in a more disciplined financial status. So we were able to get to substantial reductions. And for the year of 2018, we show investments of 679 million. And the major highlight is the execution of the projects Reinaldo mentioned, that is related to the auctions. So we go from a subtotal of subsidiaries from 85 million to 440 million. Therefore, a lot has to do with investments that are going to be necessary for the auctions. And as for energized projects, 194 projects with an investment of 167 million expected for the year.
The last slide of the presentation, we speak very transparently about what is happening with the evolution of our projects. We have information here showing you some of the important frameworks that we have achieved as part of the project evolution. Besides the company name and our stake, it is important to show you the environmental license, the date foreseen for these. In some of the cases, you can observe that we already have this license. And another important framework is the basic project. You can see that we are well advanced in terms of the RADI authorization. We obtained, we will obtain this during the first quarter, and all of the projects are now liable to issue debentures in the future, which means that we will be ready to obtain financing for the projects that will be very positive in terms of cost and that will be represented by these infrastructure debentures. These are the comments and the highlights for the full year of 2017. As of this moment, we are at your entire disposal for questions and answers. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now go on to the question and answer session, initially for investors and analysts and subsequently for journalists. Should you wish to pose a question, please press star 1. To withdraw your question from the queue, press the pound key. The first question is from Kaique Vasconcelos from Safra Bank. Hey, good morning to all of you. Thank you for the call. If you could speak a bit about the group's growth strategy and also refer to the RBSE, the issue of RAP, and if you would be interested in taking part in future auctions, what will happen with Electrobras in June, and how the company considers this as another opportunity for growth. Thank you for your question. Well, in fact, we are attempting to make the best possible use of the capital and the cash generated by the company. This means, of course, that we will continue to consider auctions. We will, of course, keep acquisitions in view in a very proactive fashion. The results that we have obtained, in my opinion, show that we have basically doubled the size of our subsidiaries, IEN, and everything else that we have represents almost 90% of the revenues of Madeiras, Garanhuns, and other operating subsidiaries. And of course, we consider that we have a very good outlook. There are acquisition opportunities not only in Electrobras, there are other opportunities in the market. And there are, of course, the auctions and the great potential they have. Now, if we use these auctions properly, this will enable us to continue to participate in auctions. This means that we have three fronts for growth. The first front is through reinforcements, and we hope that the signs given off by Anil will continue to be positive, because this is something that makes a great deal of sense. We will have a program for investments in reinforcement, and this will, of course, depend on the tariff review that is very important for us. And we hope that Anil will conclude this process positively so that we can continue on this growth path and enhancement path. As you know, it is very important to streamline our system. We do have some installations with their useful lifespan about to end. And, of course, all of this will have to be streamlined. And this represents room for growth. And all of this will depend on the response given by Anil. Secondly, we have the auctions. We are not going to leave aside the targets or profitability offered by these auctions. What we have been able to obtain through technical specifications and negotiation with suppliers and through a better programming for the coming into operation has been very competitive. Well, if this becomes overly competitive, of course, this will not make sense for us. But it is evident that we will take part in the future auctions, because this is a characteristic that we have. And finally, we will seek for acquisition opportunities. Electrobras has been published, but above and beyond Electrobras, we know that there are other interesting assets, and we have a new business area that is seeking these new opportunities. Should we not find opportunities, we can continue to leverage our cash within the company. I anticipate myself to explaining this. If at the end we do not find profitable opportunities, the company will not simply accrue cash. We will pay out dividends to shareholders and, of course, make new allocations. The intention is to grow sustainably and in a profitable way, with or without the auction. Very good. Thank you. And simply an additional question. The return that you had in 2017 with the auctions and yen, which is your target for new investments? Well, it's always very complicated to participate in these competitions. And we cannot disclose what we're going to be doing in the future. The next question is from Gustavo Mieli from Itaú BBA. Good morning. This is Pedro from BBA. I have two questions. I would like to go back to the last question, which refers to capital allocation. And if you think that if it would make more sense for shareholders to make this allocation through a greater payout, and if we link this to RBSE, if you pay greater payouts to shareholders through TGLP that we have been expecting for some time, or if you carry out an extraordinary payout due to RBSE, what is holding you back in this case? And the second question, if you could update us on two issues, which I deem to be very important in the case of CETEP. The first is CEFAS, if the injunction will be judged very soon. Do you have any idea of when this will undergo judgment? And if you believe that you will come out victorious in the second instance, and what this will represent for the company if this injunction allows you to be victorious, if you will stop paying the state percentage. Secondly, I would like an update on Madeira. I think that the main problem at Madeira is an issue referring to land. If you could give us an update in terms of this. We have a, we're pooling your questions, and several of us will get together to respond to them. And we're going to respond to the complementation of payment according to Law 319. Thank you for your question. When it comes to collection, we did have a favorable judgment in the second instance, and we did present an appeal that was geared to the Supreme Court. We have to end, wait for the end of this processing of the appeal to know what will happen in the second instance. Now, when you speak about an expectation of when this will be open, we truly cannot give you a term. We're simply hoping that this evolution will be over in this second semester. When it comes to our collection suit against an association where we have an injunction that was placed in December, we're now presenting the necessary appeals to ensure that this injunction can be revisited, and this will be submitted for appreciation to the minister the coming week. And what we are expecting, once again, well, these are mere suppositions or expectations. We do not have an agenda for this, but we believe that it will take approximately 6 months until June. We believe that there will be a judgment at the Supreme Court. Simply to reinforce this, we're very optimistic in terms of both of these solutions. We're in the second instance. This has already been discussed at the Supreme Court, and we need to be very patient in this final stretch. We are in this final stretch. This is going to the Federal Supreme Court. We do believe that the decision will be reverted. We will perhaps obtain the suspension or interruption of this complementation for retirement, and we believe the same will happen with that collection. So once again, this is the final stretch of this process. Madeira, your question will be answered by Pecchio. Good morning, and when it comes to Madeira, the first point I would like to highlight is that we have transmission of 5,000 megawatts for the system, which enables us to have a full operation for both poles, pole one and pole two. Both of them are under full operation. and they're interconnected to the SIN system with 1,400 megawatts. This is excellent news from the operational viewpoint. We continue with a limitation of 90% of the RAB because of a delay in delivery. We're having a delay in the command module. Both systems should have the capacity of carrying out this interconnection automatically, and this, of course, will involve an interaction among both manufacturers of pole 1 and pole 2. This is underway, and the forecast is that all of this will be concluded at the end of the second quarter or beginning of the third quarter. Another issue at Madeira relates to the electrodes that during the test carried out in February of 2017 had a problem when they were in neutral position. And because of this, we have been carrying out multiple tests to fully explore the region to find the location where this problem takes place. We think that we will find this site and will be able to build this new electrode. Once again, this is due to the location, but we're ready to begin and optimistic that until the end of the year, this problem will have been resolved, and consequently, we will be able to obtain 100% of the RAB. This is the update that we can give you. We do have problems. We're dealing with them in a very determined fashion, and we're very close to having reached a solution.
Well, just to add to that, it's important to tell you the following. The system is operating perfectly, operationally speaking. The converters, the lines, they are absolutely robust. There are no losses for the interconnected national system. What we have is non-impeding trends. So we cannot have the 100% of the revenue because of the parallel issue and the electrodes that we believe, as was mentioned, to be solved this year. But from the point of view of the system, we don't have any problem. We are okay with all Madeira converters. For me, this is very important, and we are being able to transmit energy in its full, all the generation from Margeral and Santo Antônio. But, of course, we have those limiting factors that I call no impeding factors. Just going back to the Ministry of Finance, we have all these discussions of pension reform and everything, and it makes no sense that a private company has to complement the retirement of those that want to receive above the ceiling of the governor of São Paulo. I mean, if you think of that, it's not reasonable at all that a private company that has no liability over the complementation of retirement of private employees that are not equivalent to civil servants, and then we would have to pay a complementation above the ceiling that was defined by the Supreme Court. And we have to pay the difference above the ceiling. So it really makes no sense. So with all the discussions going around, this is just another example of things that don't fit, that are unfair and really privilege individuals that have already very high income. It makes no sense that we pay more than the salary of the governor of São Paulo. And the other question, you know, about the board of directors, you know, decisions on dividends and, you know, policies on money allocation have to go through the board of directors. Basically, I will just give you a general comment, which is, if we have good opportunities for investment, of course, we are going to continue to generate value for our shareholders by means of growth. If we don't have good opportunities, it makes no sense just to hold cash. And therefore, one of the consequences will be the payout of dividends. Well, dividend, interest on capital, whatever. These are just things that we have been talking about. The idea is to define a way to pay our shareholders, but to be a very clear rule for the market. This is still something that is being discussed within the company, and it's going to be released timely. And of course, it depends on the decision of the RBSE. Today, as we mentioned in this call, there are still some issues to be settled. Okay, thank you very much for all the answers. Our next question comes from Vinicius Giboni from HSBC. Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my call, my question, which is about growth. How do you think the sale of IE Madeira is going to happen? Is it going to be an actual auction in June? Is there any other way for the sale to happen for Eletrobras, you're saying? Yes. Yes, I'm talking about Eletrobras. From what I know, this is not is still in the list. You have Furnas and EGF that were not transferred to Eletrobras. So we have a right of preference, you know. And whenever we have a right of preference, we are going to wait for the decision to happen. And then we are going to exercise our right of preference or not. But today, if I'm not mistaken, they are not in the list. It continues with the property of CFE, and I think that nothing was transferred to Eletrobras, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, I understand. Thank you. The next question comes from Luisa Kraus from Bank Safra. Good morning. Thanks for the call. I have two questions. When we go to slide number 4, you say that the gross revenue of RBSE was 820 million, and the effect of the net income is 330 million. So I would like to know, for the purpose of taxes, what do you deduct from these revenues to get to this net income of 330 million? And the other question I have is that you have the investments of 3 billion in new transmission lines. Do you have already a structure in terms of equity? What is going to be like in the operation that is ongoing? Thank you very much. And our calculation, you have, the usual reductions. Sometimes we have being able to use tax incentives, and all that is applied to the tax bracket of 39%. So when you talk about general numbers, generally we highlight the amount of revenues based on the 34%, I'm sorry, which is the tax bracket in the company or the effective bracket. So you do have special taxation on that, which is part of the set of revenues of the company. I'm sorry, I didn't get the beginning of your answer. I just got the end of it. So could you please repeat? Yes, sure. what I started saying is that in terms of revenues, there are no differences in terms of revenues from RBSE and revenues from other company operations. All that has the same calculation of tax. So when we show you some managerial number, you get the gross revenues, you deduct the PIS, CONFINS, and based on that, you have the basis on which you are going to apply the 34% of income tax or social contribution, or 30.6% if you want to the effective numbers. This is how we calculate that. There is basically no difference. What I'm saying that all funds have the same calculation in terms of taxes with the same reductions that can be tax incentives, but the bracket that you see in the company is the bracket that you have for RBSE. So when you talk about 330 million of net income, it's not the effect of RBSE. Because if it's just PIS, COFINS, and income tax, you're going to have a much higher NAP. Yes, because cash was 660 million. So revenues and cash are different things. So 661 million for cash. And the net income is 330. Yes, you get 606 of cash minus PIS, COFINS, income tax, and you get to 330 million. Okay? Oh, yeah, sure. I got it. And the other question was in terms of funding, was it? I'm sorry, Luisa, we forgot what the other question was. I think the question was how we are going to fund expansions. Well, basically, we are looking into opportunities and alternatives to fund all expansions. As Reinaldo mentioned, we are increasing leverage, but remember that major disbursements are going to be for year 3 and 4 of each venture. So we still have the time to know exactly what kind of fundraising we are going to have. But we always want the best terms, of course. And we'll try to use as many incentives as possible. Our next question comes from Marcelo Brito from Citigroup. Hi, good morning. I have a straightforward question. You entered a provision for the reversal of existing systems, installation of existing system. What is exactly that? Could you talk about whether this is a recurring event or not? Should we expect that in the future? Is it non-recurring? What is it exactly? Could you give us a bit more color on that? Hi, Marcelo. Well, this provision was made because we had some items that were part of our opinion report. Basically, we started to look at the replacements to be made, a shelf life of products that expired, and we realized that they have to be removed from the RBSB basis. So, and we had to write them off. And that has to do with the decision that was made in the end of 2016 for 2017. Perhaps we will have some similar situations in the future, but not as large as this was. That is, basically the bulk of the equipment that we saw today was recognized by the end of December 2016. And the periodicity, is it annual? Is it an annual process? No, the thing is that in February, we conducted an analysis of this equipment, and we came to the conclusion that that was the amount. Not necessarily do we have to wait for the end of the year to do it again. This is Javier. I have two quick comments. This was something that was already forecasted in the tariff revision. This is something that happens at every tariff revision. As for the reversal, it's not the reversal to the granting power. It is just write-off of assets that are no longer in operation and that they had not been fully amortized before. Okay, I got it. Thank you very much. Since there are no further questions, we are going to turn the floor back to Renato Pazanese for his final consideration. Well, thank you very much for attending our call today. I think once again, I would like to say that it was a very good year. Can you hear me? Yeah. So it was a very good year. And I would like to thank all CETAP employees and those that are listening to us and those that will listen to us later on for the excellent results. So thank you very much to you all. CETAP's conference call is now closed. We thank you very much for attending and wish you a good day. Thank you.